We just feel so blessed that you have joined us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Mr. Grant is still here with us on this session.
Hello.
And Ms. Tara, myself, Sandy. We are discussing Peter's Confession of Christ in Matthew 16, 13 through 28. And last time we talked about Peter, and now we're going to look at the passage and just, what do we see about Jesus in this passage?
Yeah, and the questions we always ask when we're reading a passage of Scripture, or if we hear it, is what can we learn about the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? And so those are what we're going to look at today. Last time we looked at what we could learn from Peter. And I'm going to share a little bit about the background before Grant reads, because I'd like for this to be in our mind. It's something that I actually read this morning. In the Passion Bible, he has a little section where he gives commentary, and he quoted from three different English lexicon type books, R. Scott's and Little's Greek English lexicon and Greek English lexicon, and Oscar Seifert's dictionary. And this is so cool, and I had never heard this before, but when Jesus uses the word church in this passage, one, it's the first time I knew this, the first time the word church is used. But it's the word ecclesia. Back then, according to these lexicons, it was it meant a legislative assembly or selected ones, called out ones, which is how I've always had it defined to me. But this is what I discovered that he had different. In Jesus' day, this was a political term. It was not a religious term. For us, it's a religious term. But in their day, it was not. It was used in government and political to help people understand. But in classic Greek, a group of people would be summoned and gathered together to govern the affairs of the city. And so whenever it said that the ecclesia was gathering, it was a legislative, political, or government gathering in order to help the city, to assist the city. And the implication that of this is that Jesus, when he gives Peter the keys to the kingdom, to the church, to build the church, he was giving him the governmental authority of his kingdom to build the church in the city. And so that just adds new meaning to our responsibility to our communities, and how we as the church are to be the change agents within our community, within our city, that what he's doing in us will have an impact on the legislative, the government, the political, within our city if we're active. If we're not, it won't. And so I thought, wow, that's pretty profound, and I had never really seen it taken that far. But he uses three different lexicon books to show where he's getting this from. So it's not something, you know, that he's just coming up with. It's he uses three
That's an interesting thought.
Sources. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of cool. So Grant's going to read the passage for us again, and then we are going to look at Jesus.
Okay. Matthew 16, 13 through 28. Peter's Confession of the Messiah. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But you," he asked them, "who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the forces of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven." And he gave the disciples orders to tell no one that he was the Messiah. From then on, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Oh no, Lord, this will never happen to you." But he turned and told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me because you're not thinking about God's concerns, but man's." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. What will it benefit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each according to what he has done. I assure you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Mm. May God honor the reading of his word. Mm. So good. So we're going to now, I want us to focus in on everything that we can learn about Jesus. So be thinking through what we talked about last time and the location of Caesarea Philippi, and think about what we just talked about with the church, and that it was a governmental political term. It wasn't a religious term. And think about the fact that how he talks with Peter, and think about the things that he says. And let's discuss what we can learn from Jesus.
I always love how Jesus always, when he's teaching, it's always with questions too.
Mm-hmm. You know,
or he answers with a question.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody. I like that.
It is very good how he does that. I like how he starts off. So he takes them to this region. Mm-hmm. And so who do the people say I am? So right. I agree with you.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And he allowed them to reveal what was in their hearts. Mm. Was it because he didn't know?
No, he knows everything.
Right? He knows. It's for them to understand what's inside them.
Yep.
And for them to be thinking about what's inside others. Because in order for us to build the kingdom, we have to have a good understanding of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, true humility, defined by Andrew Murray a long, long time ago, theologian, he would say true humility is to have a good understanding of yourself, both in your strength and in your weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus used questions because they would reveal both the strength. Peter, you know, you got this from God. Get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
Your weakness. You know, I mean, it's...
You're thinking too much like man there. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So what else do you see about Jesus?
Well, it's revealed that he's the Christ in this passage, the
okay.
Messiah.
Okay. So...
That's always important.
We know that he is the Messiah, mm-hmm. and that this comes from a revelation of the Father mm-hmm. making that known.
And I think that's important. We need to remember that when we're reading the Bible, it comes through the Father, the Holy Spirit, that's teaching us. It's not us.
Correct.
Learning it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's good. How about you, Grant? Did you have one? Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead and say what you were going to say.
Okay. So when I was studying this, a couple of years ago, it really blessed me when I realized that when Jesus teaches, that he actually is intentional and purposeful. And so if you look at how he's processing through this, mm. how he starts with the generality of all people before he starts in with the individual's heart.
Mm.
And that's actually a master teacher lesson that colleges teach those that are learning to teach to do, how you start with the generality and then bring it down to the point that is, you know.
Yeah, because he wants them to understand that he is going to die and he is going to suffer. And they're having a hard time with that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, but you have to have that process. The other thing that I am always blessed by is that he speaks blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He speaks it. God has blessed you. And by speaking that, it's a blessing. I'm so blessed by that, and that I try very hard when I am listening to people and they're talking to find a way to affirm them by blessing them with what I see of God in them, you know. And so when somebody is sharing with me something that's on their heart, I can come back, and if I can summarize, I can say, you know, this is a blessing of God because I see this, and mm-hmm. this in you. And because Jesus provides us the example of, you know, this is good.
Right. And 24 through 28, you know, he's talking about the laws, which are self-denial, sacrifice, you know, submission. And then he talks about the rewards.
Mm-hmm.
If you do these, if you deny yourself,
Right.
Pick up your cross, follow me. Here's your reward.
Right. And yeah. So in his teaching there, he gives very specific mm-hmm. things that they need to do, that we need to do, is that anybody that chooses to be a follower of Christ. And so those specific things were, if you're going to follow me, mm-hmm. you will deny mm-hmm. yourself. You'll pick up your cross mm-hmm. and you'll follow me.
Submission. Yeah. Yeah.
And so he tells them very specifically the outcomes of what they're supposed to do. And so he gives them the process of how to walk with a mindset of the kingdom.
Right.
So he's not just...
Because we all need direction, you know, mm-hmm. of how to do it. And he is very specific on right. this is it.
right. Here. Exactly. Okay. Did you come up with one, Grant, while I was talking?
It's kind of on the point, like, that you were saying with him speaking blessing over Peter. It's just interesting that, but, like, it goes straight from the, like, the blessing to the, not the curse, but, you know, like, to him rebuking. like, you know, it's just interesting that, I guess it's not really a notice thing, me noticing something on Jesus, but just, like, the writer of this passage and how they laid it out, that, you know, it goes straight from literally... like the highest blessing you could get from Jesus of like here are the keys to my kingdom, and you're like the like you know essentially you know my government kind of deal yeah. and then goes straight into
get behind me
Satan, like literally Jesus's enemy, and like using that title to refer to Peter as
yeah
just that's like quite a rebuttal
yeah it's just like it's such an interesting pairing of stories, you know.
Right. In the Passion Translation, in the commentator section, it said that essentially, if they were to put it in the Aramaic phrasing, it would be something along Jesus saying to him, stop quarreling with me, just follow me. Mm. You know, and so how easy it is that we can get very quarrelsome.
Right. And plus, you know, his focus changed real fast. You know, he was on God that was revealed, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's on man. And well, we do the same thing.
Right, but Peter thought his thoughts were on
right.
God.
Yeah.
That's the hard part.
Well, I think we do too sometimes.
Right, we can be led astray even in our thinking of what we're trying
easily.
To point out.
Yeah.
Right. That is so good. I wrote down also that he, so let's look at this where he binds and looses. You know, you've been given the ability to bind and loose. What does that tell you about what Jesus is teaching them? Think about when something is bound, and he has praised him for the foundation of understanding that he is the Messiah, and the fact that now you're talking loosing. So when he says to them, okay, I have to go to suffer many things, I'm, you know, he's pointing to the cross. Mm-hmm. So in that, he's actually revealing what he'll bind for us for eternity. What he does on the cross binds for us eternity, eternal life, and it looses us from sin. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm giving this to you, that you will be able to bind that which is eternal and loose that which is sinful. That's with our ability in receiving the keys to the kingdom of heaven, of being a part of the church and understanding that he is the Messiah. And I don't think we have the full grasp of that ourselves. Uh-uh. You know, and that the gift that he gives us in being his children, and that we have been bound eternally to him and loosed eternally from sin and death. And having that in our mindset, and allowing ourselves to walk in that and choosing to think on that as we're going about our way and day. You know, okay, so we ended the last show talking about we should be, you know, well, if Jesus was with me, would I say this? Would I do this? And then having, and that actually is, you know, important for us to do. But thinking, kingdom wise. Go ahead, Sandy.
I was just thinking, you know, in the Bible it says that he is mindful of us. So we need to be mindful of him too.
Yeah. And keeping that before us, mm-hmm. always, always. And that it's to bind us to that which is eternal and to loose us from that which is sin and death. That's incredible. Mm. And so that is in there when he's doing that. And then he gives the steps. Mm-hmm. So you want to follow me? You need to mm-hmm. follow me, pick up your cross, and deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. And that's what it'll look like when we're doing that. So he's giving them the vision of what it should look like to be kingdom-minded and walking with kingdom-minded steps, which is kind of fun. Okay, so the other things that I wanted us to catch as they are journeying along is that when he says, I will build, there's a promise in here. Listen to this promise. And this one I wanted to share, and this is coming from, I think it's Guzik. He says, taken together, the promise is wonderful of what we are given. He says, he brings his people together in common. He says, I will build. He builds a firm foundation. On this rock I will build. He builds something that belongs to him, my church, and he builds it into a stronghold. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In the very first show, we talked about the gate of Hades. And so he could have, the implication is he could have very easily just allowed his hand to move to where it showed that cave where they did the child sacrifices and they called it the gate of Hades. Well, the gate of a community was a symbol of strength. So a city that had a strong gate was secure. Mm. But a city with a weak gate, a weak entrance, they were not secure. And so by telling us that we have the keys to the kingdom of heaven, showing us that we have that gate and that the gate of hell's, it's broken. And so that's kind of fun and how he's got that. The other thing that I loved is when he talks about in this promise, I saw that it's about the building up of the community. It's about the having the firm foundation. It's about belonging, and it's about being strong. We're strong against that which is at the gate of hell. We have a strength. And so that just comforts me. And that he provided all that for us. And so he hands that the keys to Peter. And the cool thing is lately I've been researching a lot of art that depicts theology. And I've noticed that whenever Peter is painted by artists, like all throughout history, they often will have Peter either holding keys or having keys on him for this very reason. Yeah, it's kind of a cool thing to see. God bless.